Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com. Welcome to Sex with Simmery. This is Dr. Simmery, and I am very excited because I am here with an awesome guest who brought swag, and that already is setting this whole thing up really well. So I am here with Cookie Rabinowitz and also a giant plate of cookies, and so it is a cookie-filled episode. How are you doing, Cookie?
I'm great. Thanks, Timmery, and thanks for bringing me on the show.
Yeah, it's awesome. And thanks to Nathan, who made the cookies. They are huge. They ended up expanding into like a giant cookie. Yeah.
These are good cookies, Nathan.
Yeah. He made it happen. it melted into a giant cookie, which of course is the worst problem in the world to have, is to have a giant cookie. Oh, it's pretty fabulous. So speaking of cookies, so you're here today. You're going to be talking about your music. What is your deal in music? What is that about for you?
Well, you know, I've been a musician, a songwriter for many years, and I used to come from more of like, there's a lot of folk type of Philadelphia artists, and I came from more from that world, the singer-songwriter world. And then I started DJing in a strip club, and it changed my musical style around a lot because everything from what the girls request, you know, the songs they request are anything from, you know, ass and titties, you know, ass and titties, you know, and as, you know, or, you know, everything is based on sex in there. And my music didn't really take a direction that way, but it definitely affected my music and my songwriting. I think, you know, rhythmically trying to make it more exciting so it would work in a club format and a bar format, as opposed to, you know, with an acoustic guitar staring at my shoes the whole time. But also, I don't feel like I really fit into the strip club world, so to speak. You know, I'm not saying that strip club people are bad. I'm not really a sexual deviant. I'm pretty square, like, you know, missionary doggy style. That's about it. I don't do anything crazy with, like, knives or, trampolines or harnesses or anything like that. I'm just a pretty square guy sexually. But yet, I'm around that, and I'm around an element that's in there without going into too many details. I don't want to incriminate the guilty. My music, I think, kind of addresses, I guess, the way I feel being in that environment all the time to pay my bills, but yet, you know, trying to actually have a positive light and be a positive light in there. And I try to be a positive light in there for the entertainers and for people in there that might be struggling a little bit as well. There's maybe some addictions in that world, whether it's sexual, whether it's alcohol, you know, other things, you know. So I just try to be a positive light in there, and I think my music kind of reflects that way as well.
So when you talk about being a positive light and being influenced by this, so what are we talking, like, do you identify then as being, like, sex positive? Is that, like, the point of your songs? Like, what sort of messages are you wanting to convey?
Well, I would say it's just more of a reflection of being there, more so than a message. But I guess it's kind of the struggle I go through and just watching people in that element and how they're struggling in that environment and with their life as well. And there's nothing wrong with a strip club. I mean, I'm not saying it's a bad place, but it's definitely a little time capsule, where people might go through different phases of life. And, young girls are a little more promiscuous, maybe young guys too, maybe older, like middle-aged men with wives. Maybe that's the time where they, you know, start to like to step outside a little bit, and they might go to a strip club and just to maybe try to spice up their interest in women again. Maybe they get tired of their wives. I mean, I don't know. I'm not married. Nathan, I'm not married. Just giving you a heads up. No, I'm just kidding. But I mean, it's just kind of like, when I'm there and the music, it just kind of reflects, it feels heavy in there sometimes. Mm-hmm. It feels like, and it's, but, you know, once again, it's just a different phase in life. It's not bad people in there.
So have you only worked at the one club?
I've worked at several different clubs. I actually did a lot of odd jobs when I first moved to Philly. I taught guitar lessons a little bit at Blue Bonds right there on South Street. And then I I worked in Fishtown with a crowbar, just ripping drywall out of houses. I mean, I did pretty much everything from there, you know, in between that. And a friend of mine was already in the strip club business. And he was like, yo, you're doing all this and you're, you know, barely making your bills. I can bring you in here and, you know, you can work one day a week. And, you know, the money's not that great. I pretty much just get by. I mean, but it is a lot better than, you know, just kind of freelancing your way to making your bills. It's like, I know I have a regular, like, gig where it's like I go there one night here and there. And
so I'm curious. The reason I ask that is because, like, I've been to a fair number of strip clubs in my day. And the vibe.
Have you ever danced?
I have not. It's not, I mean, not in that particular way. I certainly, I mean, I am a professional dancer, but not specifically a stripper. Basically because, I have seen the vibe you're talking about, the sort of, and the reason, the thing that I'm thinking about is how different the vibe can be. Cause I've seen it be really light. I've seen places where it's really fun and there's a levity to it. And I think that the place that is most likely to maintain that is going to be either like an all-girl scene where the audience is female or where the performers are male, because that's a much more like party atmosphere where it's like, oh, we're all having a good time, including the performers. This is fun for us. But I definitely know exactly what you're talking about. Like just to compare upstairs and downstairs versus at Risque, you know? So, like, upstairs is the male review, and it's like, wow, we're all nuts. And then you go downstairs, and, like, the music shifts from being, like, Chris Brown and Jeremiah, and we're all dancing at the club, and it goes to this, like, angry rock naked girl.
You know, it's funny you mention about, you know, like, an all-girl setting, because what I noticed is we have, like, maybe the weekends, there'll be more female customers. They'll come in with guys, or maybe a bachelorette party will come in. And it's all girls dancing at the particular place I'm at. And what I notice is, and not to profile, but most of the women that come in, they're there pretty much. And maybe it's because they're uncomfortable in their own skin, but they seem very disrespectful to the women that are there.
Oh, yeah?
Entertaining, like, kind of like, oh, my God, look at her. Like, can you believe she gets, you know, they're very disrespectful. And, like, these are girls, you know, the girls that are there entertaining, you know, they're not bad people. You know, that's just what they're doing. I mean, I think the strip club environment is a great, it's a great way for some people. That's like the best shot they have at making a decent amount of money to pay their bills. Some of them have kids, whatever. Some of them have hospital bills, colleges they're paying for. And so, I mean, they might not want to be there, but that's their best scenario as a female.
That's got to be an insecurity thing. Yeah. Because, like, why would you go into a space and then, like...
Yeah, and it happens quite a bit. Yeah. And guys are disrespectful there, too. Like, you know, girls with, the format, they'll go up and dance a couple numbers, and then they'll come around and they'll walk around, and then the gentleman, in quotes, you know, generally tip them, you know? And sometimes a girl will walk around, a guy will say something like, I'm not tipping you, you know, you should tip me, and stuff like that. And those guys aren't necessarily bad people, but, you know, they come in there not to be on their best behavior. They come in there to be on the worst behavior. So they might be drunk, they might be you know, whatever it is, and but they're definitely not at their best as gentlemen in the gentlemen's club a lot of times. And some guys are in there, they're just nice, they're having a good time with their friends, it's very innocent, they're having a couple beers, they're watching some girls dance, they're watching a football game on the TV or whatever, which I don't understand that. If you go to a strip club and you're looking at a football game, you know, then I mean that's something there. But but, you know, so it's just it's an environment, you know, with highs and lows. I guess it's like any other job, too. You know, if you're in a restaurant or whatever, you know, there's stuff going on. You know, I worked in restaurants when I was a kid. I was a busboy, you know, and then we'd all be doing meth in the bathrooms, you know, when I was younger, of course. Just say no now. But, you know, and everybody would be like, you know, in a restaurant, everybody, we'd all be doing meth, and, you know, the waiter would be banging the one bar back, and then that bar back would be banging the hostess, you know, and it's like all that drama goes on in every business as far as with, you know, little soap opera stuff. So I don't think the strip club environment is any worse that way. I just see people interacting that way right in front of me.
It's interesting. And, like, what keeps popping into my mind as you're, like, describing this is, like, so much of that is really controllable by the way that the club is, like, sort of presented. Like, the owner, manager, etc., has a lot of choice in the decor, in the lighting, in those sort of things that can really affect people's behavior.
Well, True and not true. I mean, like I said, I have worked in several gentlemen's clubs. And when I was younger, you know, I'm not going to lie. Like me and my friends, we would say, hey, let's all go to the strip club. You know, it's not something I do now. It's like, but, you know, the I've noticed that this it's a pretty much the same thing everywhere. And it's not a bad thing. It's just that dynamic is there. It's like, you know, when you put... And I mean, I use the term sex, you know, as a theme, but there's, you know, no sex that goes on there. Mm-hmm. But, you know, when you base sex as that's what you're selling, like the fantasy of sexuality or whatever it is, whatever you would call it, you know, that's what brings guys testosterone up, you know, that's what, you know, drunk guys, you know, and, you know, females as well, you know, it's like they're going to, at some point, they're doing it to pay bills. At some point, though, too, it's like, you know, you're getting all that attention. I know myself as a musician, as an artist, you know, I go play a show, and I don't like to talk to anybody right afterwards because sometimes I get kind of stuck in my own self a little bit, and I, you know, might be a little bit too high on myself, and I got to kind of just deflate a little bit. Well, I can't imagine if, you know, if my job was not playing some songs, but if it was, you know, showing people my body and then people pretty much, you know, like throwing money at me for doing that. Like, it's got to be, you know, a mind game on the woman as well as it is, you know, the guy in there doing it. So it's a very different world, you know, it's a very different world. And I don't think it's bad. And I don't think it's like there's nothing that goes on. And once again, like I said, when I worked other jobs, there's nothing that goes on there that doesn't go on in any other jobs. You know, with the exception of when I was, you know, ripping, you know, like I said, like drywall out with a crowbar and demoing houses. Like, you know, I definitely wasn't, you know, banging the drywall dude, you know.
There are a fewer thongs, yeah, but still, you know, plenty of cracks.
Yeah, but like. Yeah, you know. And nothing that there's wrong with banging the drywall dude either, because, you know, hey, whatever you're into. But I'm less likely to want to, you know. But and the drywall dude actually did have a nice butt. Yeah. I'm just kidding. Sorry.
Oh, but he might have.
He did have a nice butt, but he actually didn't have a nice butt at all. Oh. I was just trying to make him feel good. Sorry, Tykey. What?
when you're talking about, like, the music that the girls request, so, like, could you talk a little bit about, like, the psychology of those choices? Like, what kind of mood are they looking for? What are the songs that they gravitate towards? And like, how is the choice based on what they want to hear, what they think will pay them? Like, what goes into that selection?
It's all of those things. Sometimes a girl does not care at all, like, what the customer wants to hear. And she'll be like, play me something sexy. Then first off, like, I'm thinking, well, I don't really know what sexy is, but then they'll be like, they'll want to hear like this song that's like super slow on a Saturday night when everybody's high energy. And it's a song, and it's not really appropriate. And then sometimes they'll want to – sometimes, you know, it's really peculiar because we'll have, like, you know, age ranges from anywhere from, like, 18 to, like, 40. Like, they're dancing. Mm-hmm. And it's really wild because – and then all ethnicities as well. And sometimes you want to go in and – you know, just naturally. And I do it myself, too, and I'm not saying it's right or wrong. But sometimes you just naturally, you know, you'll profile someone, you'll think like what I think that they would dance to. And as a DJ, you know, and just naturally I do that. And it's really, you know, kind of opened my mind up to people and how people are all different, no matter what they look like or what age they are, what ethnicity they are. Because, you know, sometimes this little, you know, skinny white girl from the suburbs will want to come in and hear, like, you know, Lil Wayne, Steady Mobbin', you know, which we shouldn't play that one in the club anyway. and then, you know, maybe like an 18-year-old Latina girl will come in and want to hear, you know, like a Rainbow, Stone Cold, like some like rock song from the 80s that you'd be like, where did she even hear this thing from? Like, why does she want to hear this? You know? And that happens like every day. So it really, you know, and I guess it's what they're exposed to, you know, some of these, entertainers have, younger parents or maybe cool cousins or something that like they're getting, you know, exposed to their music. And then some girls, maybe they're, you know, whatever they're doing and hanging out and being exposed to. So, I mean, it's really opened my mind up a lot because when I first went in, I'd be like, okay, this girl's going to want to hear, you know, Usher, this girl's going to want to hear Lil Wayne, 50
I
Cent.
All, I
want
to hear all the Usher.
Okay, no problem. Hey, man, that's that Fine China song. That's a badass song. Good Kisser, I'm not a big fan of. Like I said, it is, it's a good song,
Take it back.
It's not my type of, it's not my type of beat. It's cool, like it's fun, but like for me, like, but that's definitely like, I understand, like so people, that's a big hit at the club now.
Should clarify, as far as stripper dancing goes, I teach striptease aerobics.
Oh, wow.
That's a thing.
Oh, cool.
And so, like, that's actually a song that I've been teaching, like, as our long one where we work on, like, a long progressive piece. So, like, I take a lot of personal umbrage at the idea that that's not sexy, but whatever. Like, it could be, that could be anything
to anybody.
It really
could be whatever. Yeah, I agree with you totally. Like, myself, like, I actually don't really play music that like, I think is, like, if I'm at home and if I have a lady over and I like a lot of really slow R&B, but not really even in a sexual way. Like when I go to the gym, like I'll put on like slow jams. I'll listen to like, I shouldn't say this in public or somewhere where people, but like I go to the gym. I used to have a treadmill in the house and I have two roommates and they used to make fun of me because they would come home and I'd be like running on the treadmill as fast as I could to like, you know, my mind's telling me no, but my body is telling me yeah. And I'd be like running and my one roommate, Jason, he'd be like, he was cool though. Like, and he'd be like, wow, that's really badass. I've never seen anybody like work out to slow jams before, but it's kind of strange. But I mean, I really like that 90s, like that 90s R&B. Mm. And some people think it's really like, some people don't enjoy it, but I like it. And I'll listen to it like while I'm at the gym. And if I'm hanging out with somebody, we're maybe drinking some wine or something, I'll put it on, but not to be like, oh, let's get romantic. You know, I just put it on because I like it.
Well, there's also the difference between the music that you might feel sexy to, like dancing in a club, like you're going to meet somebody and maybe grind up on each other, because that's definitely a thing, versus the music you actually want to fuck to. And like one of the things Billy Idol said is the reason punk songs are the length that they are is that's exactly how long it takes usually for a lot of people to come.
Wow.
And so
I feel good about myself right now. I thought I was a 1 minute man, but some of those punk rock songs are pretty short.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Man, I gotta find some punk rock girls. Maybe I'll do better. They'll think I'm superhuman.
Well, I think his idea was like you're in a specific phase of it, not from like we have walked in the room.
I'm just, you know, like, yeah, I'm on my way over. You know, okay, I just heard,
I'm gonna start the album now. By the time you get here, we'll be good to go. Yeah, no, that's I think this is evoking for me the difference between what I want to like dance by myself too, and like so I'm getting ready to go out or whatever, I'm gonna be jamming to like whatever, and it's gonna be almost exclusively like some R&B, some hip-hop, that sort of thing. That's most likely what's gonna happen with me. But like if actually with the soundtrack to sex, I kind of want like higher BPMs in that, you know, like so that's
I like that. You use BPMs and you're aware of that. So like is there an ideal BPM for sex, like what's the best, you know, like it's funny sometimes when we're writing songs and like, we're like, if we know a certain feel, be like a lot of hip hop stuff I work on, personally, I like at 90 BPM, mm-hmm. You know, some of my music, I like, most of my music, I like it right around between 70 and 85 BPM, even though there's stuff, you know, upwards of that. And then, but I never thought like, what BPM do I have sex to? Like what do you think? What do you recommend the best BPM to have sex to?
Well, with anything related to what's the ideal, the best way to do a sex thing is like whatever's working for you and your partner at the time. Like, because that is probably different from day to day, and it's probably different from like mood to mood. And like, are we just trying to get it in real fast over a lunch break, or are we going to make a big, long, luxurious gourmet situation out of this that lasts for, you know, the entirety of an album? Like, and I think at points you'll want to vary it. And I think that's a really big issue I personally have with going out dancing in a club is the DJs who think you need to keep it at a steady level for like an hour and a half. And like people get bored and tired. And I think there needs to be more variety. And same thing with sex. Like if you just start doing whatever you're doing at a steady pace, like that can be really effective, but it's also exhausting. And eventually you'll get bored and it can be too much stimulation. You got to scale it back a little bit.
That's really interesting, and applying it to music too. It's like different rappers. I use rappers just because they really interest me in the way they deliver rhythmically, like their lyrics and songs. But it would go with any idiom of music. And I'm not a rapper, so I don't even know why I'm talking it. But I noticed I work sometimes with different rappers, and I noticed they have different a different flow or cadence to the way their words are, and they have certain BPMs that they like. And like I said myself as well, like I have certain beats per minute that I like to have a song to, and I think that's good advice for everyone, you know, in life, not just music or sex, you know, to switch it up, you know, keep it fresh, you know, like you don't want, you know, your last album to sound like your next album, and you know, you don't want to have your nooner feel the same way as when you get home at night and you're doing it 2 a.m. You know, you got, you know, Chris Rock, he said in this one thing, I saw his stand up thing years ago, and he was like, you know, guys like cheating on their wives or whatever, and he said, you got to keep the pussy fresh, you know. And it's like, I guess that's kind of like that too, you know, if you're hitting it the same way all the time, it's going to get old and it's going to get boring. And then, you know, people are going to look for other things, you know, or the label will drop you, one of the two.
Yeah, we talk about this on the show, like, fairly often, the idea that, like, goal-oriented sex, where you're like, I'm going to definitely, like, we're going to do things in a certain order because we know that it leads to this specific outcome. And because, like, just because you don't have an orgasm or have an orgasm the way that you intended or at the time or whatever, that doesn't make the session somehow bad or not valuable.
I agree. I want to touch on that because, like, I don't know if any guys, I don't know if we can get a mic up on Nathan or whatever, but it's like sometimes, like, I don't always have an orgasm when I have sex. And sometimes a female will be with me and they'll be, really, they'll feel, I guess, bad about it. Like,
they take
like
it personally?
They take it personally. And I'm like, this is like me. Like, I know it's me because, you know, like, I've been in the room when I've been having sex since I've been a kid, you know. Well, not a kid, a young adult. Mm-hmm. A young, responsible adult with contraception. You know, but that is that strange? So I'm asking you a question. Actually, is that strange for a guy to not? Is there something wrong? Like, should I get something checked or anything?
The only reason to be concerned about not coming is like you can't under any circumstances, right? So there's two different types of anorgasmia. That's the name for it. Is A as in, you know, A is the prefix to anything that's like no. So like atheist, you know, etc. So like. Anorgasmia is the inability to come. So if somebody had never, ever, ever had an orgasm in their life under any circumstance, they can't on their own, they can't with toys, they can't with a partner, never under in any setting for any amount of time, that's primary anorgasmia. And that's probably most likely a physical thing. And somebody would want to look at possible reasons for that. It could be a psychological thing, but I would first look at medical stuff. And then there's secondary anorgasmia, which is that I used to be able to, but now I can't, which is almost, which in men is more likely to be caused by, like some kind of life stress or a medical problem. Again, also might be a thing, but if it's just like a situation, like if it's just like today I didn't, but I could have yesterday or I do tomorrow or, you know, maybe if we'd gone a little bit longer or maybe if the sensation had been a little bit different or maybe if we'd brought in a couple toys, you know, that's not even a thing to even fret about. Yeah.
Like a sheep, maybe.
As long as they're able to consent and the sheep is clearly into it, I guess. Like,
I'm not into animals. I'm just trying to make. Good
I mean, that's a legit question about can animals consent to sex stuff? I mean, we don't ask them if they consent before we eat them. So there is that.
Yeah. You know. But, so that's interesting. And I think a lot of it, too, at least with me personally, is I think, you know, it's like a comfort zone thing. You know, it's like, the more comfortable you are with somebody, you know, you can just kind of like let your stuff, you know, down or let your stuff out.
Or up to the side.
You know, yeah, you know, but anyway, so that's good. Yeah, that's good information. I feel a little better now. I'm going to cancel my doctor appointment.
I would like, while we have you here, can we get a sampling?
What kind of sample? Oh.
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're offering, but what you are game for. But I'd love to. You brought this amazing guitar with you.
Oh, sure. Should I break it out?
If you are open to that, I'd be cool about it.
So, yeah, I mean, when Nathan, the show's producer, hit me up, he mentioned we have a song on the CD called Text You With My Mouth. And I could go ahead and play that. I've never I wrote the song on keyboards, and it's funny, like the band, we do it now live, and I've never really played it on guitar, so I'm not sure how it's going to sound, but that might make it more fun. you know. But it's basically, we thought, me and Nathan thought we might go with the theme of the show a little bit, you know, with sexting and stuff like that. The song really, it's more, but I guess it's the same as sex. It's more about communication and how we really, it's like, and I do it all the time too. I'm not really judging it, but I'm texting people more than I talk to them, and especially, you know, if there's a female in my life that I'm dating, it's like we're texting each other all the time, and we very rarely talk on the phone, and it's sometimes arguments start that way. It's like, and it's totally there's communication gap there. So anyway, it was just like one day I was just like, man, I just, you know, want to text you with my mouth, and I was like, oh, well, that sounds like a funny little song. So I wrote it, and I'm gonna play it on guitar. I don't know how it's gonna sound. I apologize if there's some clinkers in it. If I mess up any words or anything, but let's see. You can check this out on Four Eyed Soul on the album. It's on iTunes and all that stuff, and you can buy it right from our website. It's going to sound a lot different than this. I'm not going to say better or worse. Probably a little better, but anyway, here it is right here. All this new technology, can't remember who I am. Overrated miracles, just wanna text you with my mouth. The Google satellites, they tell me where you are. They give me directions, but I can't print them out, 'cause the printer's jammed and I can't find a pen. Just wanna text you with my mouth. Don't wanna add you as a friend. Don't wanna follow and pretend. Don't wanna be one of your likes, 'cause I'm not that type of guy. Things done gone too far, gone friend. If we wanna work it out, just wanna text you with my mouth. All this new technology, can't remember where I am. Overrated miracles, just wanna text you with my mouth. The Google logging me, the while I'm tracking you, to find me benefits with some new local friend. Don't need no dividends before I start to trend. Just wanna text you with my mouth. Don't wanna add you as a friend. Don't wanna follow and pretend. Don't wanna be one of your likes, 'cause I'm not that type of guy. Things done gone too far, gone friend. If we wanna work it out, just wanna text you with my mouth. Don't wanna add you as a friend. Don't wanna follow and pretend. Don't wanna be one of your likes, 'cause I'm not that type of guy. Things done gone too far, gone friend. If we wanna work it out, just wanna text you with my mouth. Okay, that was it. Sorry. Woo! I played a lot of wrong chords there. I apologize. But.
No, that was awesome. So people should check out the album. It's Four Eyed Soul. Where can they learn more about you? And it's ironic to ask you this immediately after that song, but can they follow you on all the interwebs and find out more?
Yeah, please do. I'll just make a real quick note about that. Yeah, I'm on the Facebook, on Twitter, CookieRabinowitz.com. If you Google Cookie Rabinowitz, we got a lot of cool stuff that comes up, cartoons and stuff, you know. The Key, actually a local Philly blog, and the Deli Philly, they just put one of a video we just put up on their sites. You can check them out there. That was really cool of them. I want to shout them out as we do. And, you know, all the social media stuff, we're on it. And I do that stuff myself. Not that I have time to, but I just think it's really important. That's where the people are going these days. And if the people are looking for me somewhere, I want to talk to them directly myself. I don't want to have some guy telling people what we're doing or what I'm doing. I want to say, hey, this is what I'm doing. And this way, if people are like, wow, that's really whack, I don't like that, or whatever, at least I know they don't like me. They don't like some guy that's talking about what he thinks I am, you know? Mm. So reach out to me at Twitter. Send me a message. Send me an email. 267-414-3285. Call me up sometime.
That's awesome. Right on. So thank you, Cookie. This has been really, really ridiculously fun. Thank you so much. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And have a fantastic day. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timmery. Sex with Timmery, the podcast, is produced by Nathan Karuna. Our opening music is by Charles Evans. Our closing music is by Hanya Lee. Be sure to check out sexwithtimmery.com, Sex with Timmery on Facebook, and tweet at me, Timmery_LEIGH. If you're a fan of the show, if you like it at all, a little bit maybe even, rate and review us on iTunes and tell your friends all about it. And thank you.